Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Please repeat after me الصلاة والسلام عليك يا رسول الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا حبيب الله الصلاة والسلام عليك يا نبي الله وعلى آلك وأصحابك يا نور الله صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم Viewers of Madni Channel, welcome back to YOLO Series 4, Devotion Beyond Comprehension, where we look at the beautiful lives of the companions of Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and how they behaved, how they sacrificed everything, and how they loved Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam more than everything else in the world, even more than themselves. Now, on this beautiful journey, let me share with you a beautiful couplet. Noor ke chashme lehraye. Allah Hazrat, honestly, his thinking, his way of expressing things is just amazing. Noor ke chashme lehraye darya behen, ungliyon ki karamat pe lakhon salam. Allah Hazrat speaks about the time when Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the companions didn't have any water. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam put their hand mubarak out and water started to flow from the finger mubarak of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the scholars write that this is the most precious water ever to bless the earth, even more than Zamzam, because it came from the fingers of the best of creation, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And Allah Hazrat sent salam upon the blessed fingers of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. There are many benefits of reciting through the Pak upon Aka Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. On the Day of Judgment, it's a very difficult day. And those who are near the awliya Allah, the friends of Allah, will have some relief. Those who are with the prophets will have some relief and know that I've got somebody to help me here. Just imagine those who are close to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because on that day, the real center of attention, the center of attention is Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I think Hazrat Hasan Raza Khan said, ke faqat itna sabab hai inqaade bazme mahshar ka ki unki shaan e mehboobi dikhai jane wali hai. Ke the whole point of the Day of Judgment is that Allah Azza wa Jalla wants to show the entire creation the amazing status of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on that day, being close to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the greatest privilege that anybody can have. Now listen to this hadith mubarak. Aka Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The closest to me on the Day of Judgment will be the one who sends through the pak upon me in abundance in this world." Subhanallah. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Now we've got our beautiful kalam for you, again in the beautiful voice of a true Ashiqi Rasul, a true devotee of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Haji Mushtaq Attari rahmatullahi alayhi. We're going to listen to this beautiful kalam and then quickly move to our next segment. Sallu ala al-habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kalam by Haji Mushtaq Attari.
Kya sabz sabz gumbad, kya sabz sabz gumbad, ka khoob hai nazara, kya sabz sabz gumbad, kya sabz gumbad, ka
Subhanallah, what a beautiful kalam. And it brings out the love of Medina and the visuals as well. Combined, amazing visuals combined with an amazing voice really touches the heart. May Allah Azza wa Jal take us all to Medina time and time again. Inshallah, we're going to move to our main segment. Salu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew.
Hazrat Sayyidina Rabi bin Ka'ab al-Salami, he had the honor and the privilege of serving Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would be at the service of the best of creation during the nights. He would bring water for wuzu. And one day, he's doing these services, he's doing other things. And, you know, if you have something to give, you will offer it to people. And you will only offer that which is in your capacity. You know, if you and I were to offer things, we'd offer that which we have on us or we can get. But you wouldn't offer things that you don't possess or you don't have the power to give. Now, with that in mind, listen to this. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Sal. Ask. There is no stipulation of what you can ask for. Just Aka Kareem simply said, ask. Now, this companion, Hazrat Rabiha radiallahu ta'ala, and he realizes that this is the best of creation. This is the one that Allah Azza wa Jal has opened the treasures of the world and beyond to. He asks for something. Now, if you and I had this opportunity, we'd probably say, well, money or wealth or something else. Look at what the reply came. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want your company in Jannah. Wow. I mean, the reply doesn't come to a question of this sort from the best of creation, the one who Allah has given all the power. You could not ask for anything better. Hazrat Rabiha radiallahu ta'ala, and who says that I said, Ya Rasulullah, I want your company in Jannah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, anything apart from this? And he says, no, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I only have one goal in life. I only have one aim, one achievement that I want. And this is it. I want to be with you in Jannah. Subhanallah. Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said that, Rabiha, assist me through abundance of prostrations. Now, this was a lesson for us that basically, if you want that great closeness to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if you want to be in the company of the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then you need to do good deeds. And the scholars write that to attain such great statuses, you should strive. You should worship Allah Azza wa Jalla with sincerity. You should send durood wa salam upon the beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And then you will achieve. And the scholars also write something very interesting here. They say that, look, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave him a general permission to ask. Sal, that's it. Ask. And he knew the power of his Habib, so he asks for Jannah. Now, Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam didn't say, well, Jannah will be determined on your deeds, or Allah Azza wa Jalla will reward Jannah. Now, Allah Azza wa Jalla had given permission to his beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to promise Hazrat Rabiha radiallahu ta'ala the palaces of Jannah and the luxuries of Jannah. But he didn't just want that though. This is the important thing. Look at this devotion that he had. He said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I want Jannah so that I can be with you. Is that not devotion beyond comprehension? Most of us, we kind of work for Jannah, but not the companions. To them, Jannah was important. It was emphasized in the Quran by Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the Hadith of Barakah as well. But for them, there was only one thing that mattered. That was Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But I tell you about somebody really amazing today. This companion was the son of a rich woman in Mecca. His mother was very wealthy and he was treated very well. His clothes in those times were imported. His fragrances were imported. He was truly living the luxury life. Then things changed. He fell in love. But not in love with the world, a woman, cars or rides at the time, or, you know, luxuries of life, money. No. He was invited to Islam. And he was invited to the court of the blessed Habib sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he fell in love. Just one look at that beautiful face, and he falls in love. He accepts Islam. He then migrates in the way of Islam. And very difficult journeys, very difficult time. He, in the worldly sense, he'd lost everything. He'd had to migrate because there would be Muslims were being persecuted in Makkah. He'd lived a very difficult life overseas. He'd come back to Madinatul Munawwara when Aqa Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam had blessed the city. So one day, he is sat with other companions. And they said to him, "Can you describe to us the physical beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam?" He says, "The Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, has an elegant combination of redness and whiteness in his skin color. His blessed eyes are filled with beauty. His eyebrows are attached. His hairs are straight, not curly. His beard is thick. There is a gap between both shoulders. His blessed neck is like silver jewelry. His palm and feet are vast. When he, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, walks, it is as though he is descending from a high place to a lower area. When he rises, it is as if he is exiting from rocky ground. When the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, turns towards someone, he turns to them fully. When his blessed face sweats, it's like pearls. He, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is neither tall nor short, and there is a prophetic seal between the shoulders. Whosoever sees the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal is overcome with awe, and whoever remains in the blessed company will recognition his love for the beloved sallallahu alaihi wasallam increases. The master of all creation is the most generous, the most courageous. His manners of conversing are the most truthful. He is the most firm in fulfilling promises. His character is soft. He is the best in residence. I have not seen anybody like him before or after him." Subhanallah. What a beautiful description as the Sayyidina Musa ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala gives. And at that point, the companions say that as he was explaining the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, silence came over the entire gathering. Everybody was listening with concentration. And Musab himself was moved to tears. The group then exclaimed, "Sallallahu alayka ya Rasulallah." They sent durud salam upon the best of creation. Now, what was this? This was a gathering of the companions. And what were they doing? They were talking about the beauty of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If you say this in our language, in Sunni language, this was a mehfil milad, where they all gathered together and they were all talking about their beloved, the beloved of the world, the beloved of Allah azza wa jal, the best of creation sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know that famous couplet, "Apna mayyar zamane se juda rakhte hain. Hum to mehboob bhi mehboob e khuda rakhte hain." We differentiate ourselves from the world because our beloved is the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal. How beautiful is that couplet? This was the love that the companions had for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hazrat Sayyidina Huzaifa says that during the Battle of Ahzab, the Muslims had enemies on both sides. So you had the Kuffar of Makkah, who consisted of many tribes who were adamant on attacking the Muslims. And then on the other side, you had the Jewish tribes of Medina, Banu Qurayza, and they were waiting for an opportunity to attack. So the difficulty was that when the Muslims were going to march out to war, to the battle, the Ghazwa, there was a risk that the other tribes, the Jewish tribes, could attack Medina and wipe out their families. So it was a very, very difficult situation because you had two staunch enemies waiting in the wings. Now, there were certain plans made of how to deal with this and how to protect Madinatul Munawwara. But some of the munafiqeen, and you get a lot of these are people who pretend to be Muslims and they are really, the iman hasn't entered their hearts fully, and they are people who are looking for any opportunity to damage Islam. So the hypocrites, what they start to do is they start to come to the court of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam and start making excuses, saying, "Oh, our families are alone, oh, I'm not well," and this and that. And they start to leave. Now, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, being a mercy to the world, grants them permission to leave as well. So whoever seeks it, Nabi Karim allows him. Now, there is a difficult situation because you've got Abu Sufyan with the Meccan tribes ready to attack. You've got this vulnerability at the back with these other tribes. And how does it work? So Aka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam says to Sayyidina Huzaifa, Huzaifa, go to the enemy camp where the tribes of Makkah are and just gather some information to see what they're doing and what is happening. So Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala says, I was actually on the floor. It was a cold night. And I hadn't got a lot of warm clothes. I had one shawl and I had bent over onto the floor. I'd put it over my back and I was quite cold, but I was trying to keep myself warm. So Aka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passes by and says to me, okay, Huzaifa, go and find out what the enemy's doing. Now, before this, I couldn't even stand up because of the cold. Aka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asks me, and immediately I stand up. I turn towards the enemy lines. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says this, Oh Allah, protect him from the front, from behind, from his right and from his left, and protect him from above him and beneath him. This dua is made by Rasulullah ﷺ. And as they say now, Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala says, immediately as I was walking into this cold weather, it was a blizzard, it was a storm, it started to warm up for me. Acting upon the command of Nabi Akram sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I moved towards the enemy. I reached there in disguise, just to observe the situation in silence and then to return. There were a lot of people there, so listen to what Hazrat Huzaifa radiallahu ta'ala says. He says, I saw that they'd kindled a fire. They were all sitting by it, but the storm was very bad. It was very cold, the storm was bad, and their tents were being ripped up and things were flying about and everything else. I noticed Abu Sufyan, he was the leader, and all the tribes were there and they were trying to get some fires going and everything else. As soon as I saw Abu Sufyan, I thought, he's the leader. Why don't I just take him out? And this will put an end to this particular battle. So I took up my spear, and as I was about to shoot, I suddenly realized, okay, no. Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, do not do anything. Just simply get the information and come back. So I put it back, I walked in, and I could hear the people saying to him, look, this is not going to work. We think we should return. We're not in a position to fight. So all this debate is going on. And then suddenly I turned and I headed back. I headed back with the news that Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam would be pleased with, that they were disorganized, they were really struggling, and they were thinking of going back. Now, when I went back, I reached the Messenger of Allah Azza wa Jal, and Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was performing salah with a small shawl. And when Aka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned to me, I said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa, this is what I've learned. And Aka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was there, and I sat in the feet of Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Aka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam covered with me with the shawl and attached my chest to their blessed feet. This is the life of the companions. Hazrat Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq, what can one say about him? In the early days of Islam, there are about 39 Muslims. And Hazrat Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu had a lot of passion for Islam. And so he keeps asking Nabi Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, why don't we go to the Haram, to the Kaaba, and why don't we preach the deen? This is such a beautiful deen. People need to benefit from it. Aka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam kept saying, no, it's not the time. Then Hazrat Sayyidina Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala accepts Islam. So now Islam has become stronger. So again, when there's 39 Muslims, and the scholars write this is a few days before Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala accepted Islam. So Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala insists, Aka Karim sallallahu alayhi wa sallam grant him permission, and they head towards a Masjid al-Haram. You've got the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You've got Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala, you've got Hazrat Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala. Now, these were two great leaders at either side of the best of creation sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq becomes the first Mubalagh of Islam. The first sermon is delivered. And Hazrat Amir Hamza radiallahu ta'ala anhu is there. Other companions are there. Now, as soon as this sermon is delivered, it's delivered in open public. The kuffar of Makkah can't handle that. And they start to attack the Muslims from all directions. Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, who was very well respected, very rich and very well known, and people wouldn't even dare look at him, but for the deen, because he was giving the message of Islam, they attacked him brutally. They attacked him so badly that his face was filled with blood everywhere. He was drenched. And eventually, he fell unconscious. His own tribe, who were very well known, came and put everybody back and said, if anything happens to Abu Bakr, you will pay a price. They pick him up, they take him home. They take him home and there he's resting. And everybody's anxious because he's unconscious. And everybody's hoping he's going to pull through. But he's badly, badly injured. Eventually, after hours, he finally opens his eyes. He finally opens his eyes. The first question on his lips wasn't what's happened to me, where am I, you're my tribe, my mother's there, my family is there, I'm okay. No. The first question on his lips was, how is my beloved Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? How is Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Is my aqa safe? That's all he's bothered about. They say to him, Abu Bakr, look what his friendship has done to you. These people have beat you unconscious. And there's only one thing on Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala's lips. Tell me how Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is. They give him water. He says, I don't want to drink water. They give him food. He says, I don't want food. Just answer this question. His mother says, look, we don't know. So Hazrat Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala says to his mother, can you go and get Umme Jameel? Now, Hazrat Umme Jameel had accepted Islam, but her Islam was secret. So Hazrat al-Khair, the mother of Siddiq Akbar radiallahu anhu, goes to her because she's got that love for her son. Her son won't, he's badly injured. He won't drink water. He won't eat food. All he wants to know about is his Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So she goes to Hazrat Umm Jameel and says, Umm Jameel, how is Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? She says, who are you talking about? Because obviously she'd kept her Islam secret because Muslims were being persecuted for accepting Islam. So she says, I don't know who you're talking about. I don't know what you're talking about. He says, well, okay, but what I will do, you're telling me that your son Abu Bakr has been injured. I'll come and see him with you. So she comes to the house. Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala sees Hazrat Umme Jameel radiallahu ta'ala anha, and he says, okay, how is the Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Now Hazrat Umme Jameel looks at Hazrat Umme Khair radiallahu ta'ala anha, because she later, as this Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala's mother, later accepted Islam. So she looks at her, and then Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala says, don't worry about my mother. And she says, Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, the beloved of Allah Azza wa Jal is safe and well in Darul Arkam, in the house of Hazrat Arkam radiallahu ta'ala anhu. At this, Sayyidina Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu doesn't give up. He doesn't say, right, now I know that my Habib is safe, bring me the water, you know, look after my wounds and give me something to eat and whatever and give me first aid. No, he says, I'm still not going to eat and drink till I see my Habib is safe with my own eyes. I mean, that isn't devotion beyond comprehension, that I don't know whatever is, because you've got somebody who's been battered unconscious, he's got blood everywhere, he's drenched, he wakes up after hours, and the only thing on his lips, and the whole world can't change him, is just tell me how my Habib is. And once he's told that Aka Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is safe and well, he says, no, I want to see it with my own eyes. Now these pick him up to the house of Hazrat Arkam. And when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees Sayyidina Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu, tears come to the eyes of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Subhanallah, that is love that one cannot describe, one cannot tell, one cannot understand. This is why we call it devotion beyond comprehension. Hazrat Siddiq Akbar radiallahu ta'ala anhu was just next level, as they say in today's youngsters lingo. His love for Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his compassion, nothing else mattered. Nothing else. All that mattered is Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was safe and well, and what the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted. Now it's important for my youngsters to think, these companions gave us a lesson. And the lesson was, that no matter what the world does to you, no matter what the temptations are, what the difficulties are, what the trials are, and what the tribulations are, what should matter to you is only what Allah and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam want. Only what is correct in the eyes of Islam, what the Sharia wants you to do, what the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's beautiful sunnats are, not what the world wants. And if you face difficulties in the way of Islam, those difficulties are pleasures for those who love Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. A lot of people, they say, I don't want to keep a beard because what will people say? What will people think? They might think, you know, I've turned into a scholar or whatever. They have all these... Forget about everything. Keep a beard just for the love of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Forget about everything. Act upon the sunnahs just for the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Give up a life of sins, not because people are watching or not watching or what you can get away with, but purely for the love of Allah Azza wa Jal and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if you do this, you will be successful in this world and the hereafter. And you will also then take one iota worth of lesson from the life of the companions, because their entire lives evolved around what Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam wanted. Ask yourself, how much of our lives evolve around what pleases Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? If you are doing the wrong thing, we know that the beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows our deeds with the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jal. We know that our deeds are presented in the court of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. How shameful would it be? Just think that would you commit sin if Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was watching you? You'd never do it. But have this iman, have this faith, have this belief that with the power that Allah Azza wa Jal has given His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam can see us, Aka Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam knows our deeds. I mean, if you can't understand that concept in today's day and age, then it's very difficult. Today you can put a video on here and see what's happening in Medina. You can sit in Medina and see what's happening here just through video and call times. And videos. Well, if humans can reach that capacity where, you know, thousands of people can be sat all over the world and I can bring them all onto my screen. Simultaneously these days, meetings are happening with one person in, you know, in Malaysia and one in Pakistan and one in Dubai and one in America. All these people coming together in one place. If I was sat in Madinatul Munawwara, I could have these conversations face to face with these people and they could see me and I could see them. Now, if this is the power that this technology gives you, that is nothing compared to the power of Allah Azza wa Jal. So this is why the scholars say, you should have a fear of Allah Azza wa Jal and knowing Allah Azza wa Jal is watching. And you should have also this shame, this haya of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And for those who commit sins without realizing this, then Allah Azza wa Jal writes very beautifully, Sharme Nabi, Khofe Khuda, Ye Bhi Nahi. You know, when you're out and about, you look out for cameras. I don't want to do anything wrong in front of a camera and get caught. Why don't we think the same when it comes to the court of Allah Azza wa Jal and His beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam? It's time to think. We need to show our love, not just express it, but show our love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam through our actions. This is why a Muslim shouldn't be lying. A Muslim shouldn't be deceiving. A Muslim shouldn't be backbiting. A Muslim shouldn't be causing fitna and fasad. A Muslim should not be causing enmity and have hatred. Why? Because of the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. This is the essence of the deen. That you give up things in the love of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And once you start to do that, you will understand this devotion beyond comprehension of the blessed companions. I have to move to my second segment, but try this week to give up anything that you know displeases Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and try and do at least one thing that you know will please Allah Azza wa Jalla and His Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Let me give you kind of a tip towards it. Anything that your heart will tell you that this is wrong, just leave it and say, I'm just doing it. Don't tell anybody. Just keep that between you and Allah Azza wa Jalla. Ya Allah, I'm giving this up for the beloved Sati Medina. For my beloved Habib Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And when you see a good deed, Ya Allah, I'm doing this good deed just for my Habib sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That's it. And then watch how your life changes. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew.
Now, one of the ways to change your life, and one of the ways to change society, and we all have this kind of passion to help other people as well and change our lives, but sometimes we're not able to implement it because we don't have the correct path, or we don't decide, make the correct decisions. Let me tell you about a friend of mine. He was a young man. He was a bit of a chiller. We were one of the boys. And he used to hang around on street corners. And one day, somebody invited him into the masjid. And he's, you know, come to the Ijtamaa of Dawat Islami every Thursdays all over the UK. I think there are about 50 Ijtamaas all over the UK. And it happens all over the world. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Beautiful Ijtamaa. It's only about an hour and a half. And you have Tilawat, the recitation of the glorious Quran, a beautiful Naati Paak, and then a short bayan. And usually in this country, in the UK, all delivered in English, especially tailored for young generation as well. So beautiful bayan and everything else. So this young man, he's on the streets, he's chilling out with the boys, and somebody invites him in, so he comes. And he thinks, oh, this is good, because after the bayan, they do zikr and everything else, and, you know, there's a good atmosphere. So he starts to come. Then, after a few times, somebody invites him, why don't you join the Jamia of Dawat Islami in Bradford and become a scholar? And you think, you must be kidding. No way, how can I do that? I can't do that. Why can't you? It's not for me. It's not something I can do. I'm one of the lads. So they carry on working on him. And eventually he thinks, well, look, this is an opportunity in life. Let's take it. So he takes it. He goes and studies in Bradford. And alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, within a few years, he becomes a scholar of the deen of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he returns to his home city. And he then helps Dawat Islami to set up a jamia there, and he's now a teacher teaching other youngsters. Today's department is the same as last week. I just wanted to emphasize it more because it's so important. Jamiatul Madina. This is changing lives around the world. Hundreds and hundreds of students are learning the deen. They are doing the Dars-e Nizami, as we traditionally call it, the scholarly course to become a scholar, an alim. And alhamdulillah, so many youngsters, you see these youngsters, mashallah, you know, all looking the part as well, all dressed up like scholars, giving bayans on social media and everything else. And you think, wow, I wish our children could do this. Well, that's what we're here to talk about. Because your Dawat Islami has given everybody the opportunity to change their household. Because if you have one scholar in the household, it will change your whole generation and generations to come as well. This is why they say, you know, like sometimes you have one half is a Quran, and then his khwaishes, his children become huffaz, and then they, and then you have generation after generation of huffaz. Similarly, with scholars, if somebody is a scholar, he has this desire that my children become scholars, and they do it, and then you get a flow of generations, and it's such a great reward coming back. I'm going to show you a documentary, and inshallah we're going to come back to this. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
It's Dawat Islami.
The department that produces the scholars. Dawat Islami has such a department where scholars are being prepared. This is the department that no amount of praise will be enough. And subhanAllah, its name, Jamiatul Madina. Yes, and Jamiatul Madina is not just in Pakistan. Rather, it is spreading its blessings in many countries around the world. Here in the UK, there are many, many jamias as well. And the amazing thing is that education is provided according to each country. For Urdu speakers, Dars-e Nizami is being taught in the language of Urdu. For English speakers, Dars-e Nizami is being conducted in English. For African brothers, Dars-e Nizami is being taught in Swahili. And now, Dars-e Nizami has even started in European languages in Europe as well. Allahu Akbar. The regional languages of Pakistan are also being taken into consideration.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold.
And alhamdulillah, now let's tell you in which countries Dawat Islami's Jamiatul Madina are present.
Knowledge is light, knowledge is
Viewers, the number of Jamaat Rabindra branches has now exceeded 1,500. It means there are more than 1,500 Islamic universities where scholars are being produced. And subhanAllah, these Jamaat Rabindra established are in every corner of the world. The special thing in all of these universities is that a large number of students receive accommodation, food and residence, all provided by Dawud Islami. And it's not just religious education. Alongside it, worldly education is also included. After the establishment of Kanzul Madaris Board, which was granted to us by the Federal Ministry of Education, alhamdulillah, students are graduating from Jamaat al-Madina and now awarded a double MA degree as well. Viewers, computer courses are also offered. Another beautiful department that is enhancing the skills of Jamaat al-Madina students is called SEP. In this department, various computer courses are taught according to the world requirements along with soft skills. In these nearly 1,500 Jamaat al-Madina, approximately 131,000, yes, 131,000 students are currently studying. And subhanAllah, so far, more than 34,000 boys and girls have completed Darsul Islami, successfully finishing the Alim and the Alama course.
The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold, because keys to success this knowledge does hold. The knowledge of Islam is precious like gold.
The Madani aim of Dawud Islami is, I must try to reform myself and the people of the whole world. InshaAllah Azzawajal. Long live Dawud Islami.
SubhanAllah, is that not amazing? I mean, wow factor, 131,000 students studying all over the world. 34,000, Khalid Bhai said, have completed their Darsul Nizami under Dawat Islami all over the world. In the UK alone, I think there are over 20 jamias. Some are residential, sisters jamias. Some are part-time. Some are full-time. I think there are three brothers jamias full-time that are residential. And then the sisters jamias are part-time, non-residential. And then there are other part-time and different setups to help encourage people. And alhamdulillah, one of the things that I noticed that really kind of inspired kind of this amazing setup was that a lot of the students, you might have seen it in the videos, are youngsters. Alhamdulillah. You know, we had our elderly scholars as well, but we've got youngsters. And these are youngsters, mine and your youngsters. And, you know, somebody decided, you know, everybody can say, I want to make my son into a doctor or this and that. But this person, some people have decided that I want my son to be a scholar of the deen. I want my son to be in that category. And so the best thing for youngsters today, Jamia course. And these Jamia courses are combined courses, as Khalid Bhai was saying, so that they're taught IT skills and other things, so that when they leave, they haven't just got a Jamia degree and they're not just an Al-Madin. They are very, very in touch with the latest skills that are required to get good jobs out there, even if they don't want to go into directly the religious field. So alhamdulillah, your Dawat Islami is doing amazing work. And this is one of the most important departments. And I'll leave you this. The reason I say it's probably the most important department is because the scholars of today are our future. Today, if we encourage more children to become alims, become scholars of deen, then it secures our future generations. And that is very, very important. Inshallah, we'll see you on Devotion Beyond Comprehension next week. Keep watching Madani Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Sahaba's devotion, a love so true, inspiring hearts forever anew. Inspiring hearts forever anew.